sometimes take it way too far. But really, how bad could it get? Let's go beyond the box set.
Welcome everybody to Beyond the Box Set. Today we are back.
We're back in the cinema, baby.
It is the quiet, a quiet
the
place.
The quiet place.
The quiet place. The quietest of places, part two.
Yes.
What do you think?
This was fine.
You thought?
This film was completely unnecessary.
Do you think? Really?
Yeah, 100%. It was. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved watching it.
Mm.
And I really loved being back in the cinema. That was, yeah. And I think this film in particular really benefited from...
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, because it just wouldn't be the same watching on TV. You need to be in a darkened room, undivided attention, so you can really feel that tension.
With an audience who wants to be in the same place as well, so they're all quiet.
Yes, yeah.
Which I was lucky to have. Did you have that too?
No, I had the same experience. Yeah. The audience was really well behaved because I think it is one of those films that like it sucks you in. It keeps you it keeps you on edge from start to finish, and you're not kind of wanting to jump in and out and talk to people or whatever. So, no, on that level, it was just as tense as the first one in many ways. I just thought it was a classic like unnecessary cash-in sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I really didn't think so.
No, okay. What did you think?
I thought this was great. It was a great return to the world. Mm-hmm. It had just as much tension as the first one.
Mm. I'd agree on that. Yeah.
If not more, because like the first one, I feel like the first one really only had just one tense sequence that went on for half an hour. That was the last part of the film.
Sure.
And both films are like an hour and a half each.
Yeah.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. So,
I appreciated the brevity. Yeah.
Definitely.
That was definitely a plus.
This one, I feel like it had more of those super tense scenes where there's a lot going on. It's just getting worse and worse and worse, and you just don't know how they're going to get out of it, but you're really rooting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe they make it, and maybe they only kind of make it.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think this film definitely, amped the tension up to 11, but I think for me, it made me think a little bit too hard about the logic behind what's going on. The first film definitely had some pretty major plot holes, but it kind of put you in this very specific situation. It's like, well, don't think too much about...
By plot holes, do you mean just it didn't tell you some things?
Things just didn't make sense.
Like what?
Well, why the hell would you have a baby? Why? What would possess you to have a baby in that world?
An accident? I don't know.
I just don't think it seems to be like a fundamentally selfish thing to do when you have two other children that you're trying to keep alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of a single justification for keeping that baby. It's not like it was they've never had a baby before and like they really need to become parents. Like,
sure. Well, maybe we're talking about the first film here. Maybe it was a grieving mechanism.
A coping mechanism. I think they kind of very much implied that it was because they had that one kid that died. Sure,
Well,
bad choice.
Yeah,
but anyway,
bad choice. But like they, from the film point of view, they just need to throw the baby in there just because it adds way more tension.
It does, yeah.
And I think the film came off so well for having just such high tension, and it wouldn't have had it without the baby. The tension wouldn't have been anywhere near as high.
No, I agree. I agree.
So I'll agree, yeah, it's not quite a plot hole, but it's a very questionable decision, but I'm willing to overlook it.
Sure. But what I mean is, the first film, that didn't bother me too much, even though I was like, that doesn't make much sense. But the first film really worked for me because it put you in a very specific situation, and it doesn't really make you... It doesn't dwell too much on like what the backstory to all this is. It's just like, well, this is the situation. There's some kind of mysterious killer creatures, and they're stalking, and they hunt by sound, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it puts you in this one family's very close, tight situation.
Mm.
And then you just with them for the whole film. You really want them to survive. You really feel for them. It's incredibly tense and it's incredibly engaging.
Yeah.
With this one, it kind of did that thing that sequels do where it opened up the world a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that doing that made it made the cracks show a little bit more.
Right.
Like, okay. It opens with this long, prequel scene, kind of, which is just an excuse for John
Krasinski
to actually be in the movie.
Yeah.
So they have a whole scene, which is like the day the aliens arrived,
mm-hmm.
and it's this whole baseball game is happening,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly out of the sky, you see this giant alien spaceship.
You don't see anything. Like, it could be a meteorite, it could be anything. Like, it's obscured by smoke and clouds and stuff, but it's the only part of the film that I didn't like, because it definitely takes some of the mystery out of it. No, it takes all the mystery out of it. And I thought it was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, they still could have had the exact same scene, but just these monsters just show up.
Yeah.
And that would have been fine. It would have been, because it wouldn't have answered any questions. Like, are they aliens? Are they genetic mutations? Is it a science experiment? Is it a weapon? All that would have still been completely unanswered. But this way, it's like, they're aliens. Okay. Right. Okay, so this is an invasion movie.
That's what I mean. That more than anything else ruined it for me. But not ruined it. I still enjoyed the film.
Yes.
But it was just like, I couldn't get... Because in the movie, the aliens are basically attack dogs. They're not shown to be...
They're not intelligent, necessarily.
Intelligent in any particular way.
So, well, they might not be the aliens that... They might not have actually come there by themselves. They might just be sent by other aliens.
I guess that is one way of explaining it. Because I was just like...
It'd be like if we just sent loads of wolves to Mars.
Yeah, maybe. I was just like, that'd be pointless. They just die. But I know what you mean. Because it was just kind of like, well, what are they... What's their purpose? If they've actually made the effort to... Because I was like, I like more the idea that they're like a genetic experiment gone wrong. Like, they're trying to make like these super powerful attack dogs or something, you know, and then two, one escaped and bred and whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That works for me. If they're aliens, I just couldn't help but imagine these very dog-like, you know, very feral aliens just like on the Starship Enterprise, you know, just punching buttons and being way more sophisticated than they are shown to be. I was just like, oh, that doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
So that just really, you know, that explaining them and, oh, they're definitely aliens just kind of immediately took away from me a little bit.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that at all.
I really think it just lifts right out.
Yeah, it does.
Like, just have the baseball game and then just have, like, sirens go off or something, because it does get mentioned in the film that somebody heard sirens, but we never hear them. Mm. So then everybody starts leaving the baseball game and then just go from there.
Yeah.
With like, these monsters just show up and just start ripping cars apart and ripping people apart, and John Krasinski works out that it's sound and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That all works.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Just take out the alien bit and it's annoying and it's difficult to get over.
It is. It's like watching... I remember when I first watched the film Donnie Darko, and I really, really liked it. I thought it was a fantastic film. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the director's cut of Donnie Darko, and it over-explained everything to the point that it ruined the film for me.
Yeah.
Because the more it over-explained it, the more convoluted it got, and the more I realised it was a load of nonsense. Mm-hmm. Whereas when it was all left vague and, you know, ambiguous, you could just either draw your own conclusions, or you could just like, well, it doesn't matter if I don't know. Mm. What matters is the scenario. But it made me think about it, and the more I thought about it... And it made other scenes later on, like, this whole concept is insanely stupid, but this idea that for all that the aliens have wiped out society, all people ever needed to do was just find a body of water they could cross and then they'd be completely safe. I just thought that was completely absurd. But even more so if these aliens have literally crossed the galaxy, but somehow they can't hop across a little river, you know. That was just complete nonsense.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm going with the theory that they're not intelligent beings.
Yeah,
they're just monsters sent by another race.
Sure.
So yeah, it would be like if we, you know, sent wolves to go and conquer Mars. Like, they wouldn't be able to conquer the whole thing. Just maybe the...
You're only doubling down on this wolves on Mars thing. It's not going to happen, Harry.
But, you know, like, so there's definitely going to be a third one of these.
Oh, for sure. I think it's already been announced, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm a bit concerned that the third one is going to reveal, like, even way more. And it's just going to become an alien movie.
Yeah.
With like, okay, now we've got to fight off these aliens or something. And it's not just fighting off these attack dogs. It'll be fighting off and winning back the planet.
Yeah.
Because these attack dogs, I imagine, were sent down to just wipe out the bulk of the population. So the planet is just there ready for conquering.
Mm. Well, I also think that... I remember when the first one came out, John Krasinski said that he wrote the first film as kind of an allegory for parenthood. Like, he wrote it shortly after becoming a father, and it was all very much about his feelings about fatherhood and the wanting to protect his kids. And I think that's why the first film was very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think this whole backstory existed in his head when he wrote the first film.
Do you think?
I think this film, I don't know for sure, but I'm reading between the lines of things he said. I think he always said he'd only make a second one if he could think of an idea as good, which suggests he doesn't have this whole universe in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the first film made a shit ton of money. Probably did a lot of pressure on him to make that second film. So it feels like they're writing backwards now from this very simple idea that worked really well.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you. I worry that the more they make, it's just going to get more and more absurd. It's just going to lose a lot of what made it special in the first place.
Mm.
So.
Well, I really liked... So the first one ends where she's worked out how to do it. Like, she puts her hearing aid at the microphone. Yeah. It creates a feedback loop. the aliens are super distracted by it because their hearing is very sensitive, and you know they can be shot in the face at that point.
Yes.
So like, great, okay, we found a way to hurt the aliens.
Yeah.
So now,
and it's such a badass ending with the last shot being Emily Blunt cocking the gun.
Yeah.
Like that's why I will, you know, I don't care that they made sequel. You know, the original's still there for me. You know, but it would be such a great standalone if that was the last. You know, that's just the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of liked it because they leave it so open, like it's almost a cliffhanger. Like, yeah. Three monsters running towards them, and you know that they're ready to just have a shootout, and they know how to hurt them. And so now this film is about how do we hurt more of them, and sure. like get to safe, because now we're not safe anymore. Like the monsters are all running for the house, the baby's barn is burning down and flooding at the same time. Don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Like we can't live here anymore, so we need to survive. And I like that it carries on that story of like, we need to find a new place to live, need to find a new home. We also need to hurt these things because we know how. We might be the only people in the world who know how. So let's go and do that. And yeah, sure, they find a radio station, which makes me think that this film was kind of planned, because in the first film, John Krasinski, he's always looking on the radio, isn't he?
Well, I think it's just for signs of life that there were people around.
And so then that becomes a big plot point in this, where they find a radio station that works.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody's blaring out the song "Somewhere
Beyond the Sea,"
just saying like, "Hey, we're on an island. Come find us if you want to live." And she's like, "Okay, well, if I put my hearing aid to that microphone on the radio there, and then whenever there's a radio, these monsters will get like stopped, and we can kill them."
Mm-hmm.
So great. That's how this film is. That's what this film is going to do. It's going to widen the scale like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just remembered as well, the other thing that annoyed me about the flashback, the kids were so visibly older.
Yeah.
It was so,
yeah,
so obvious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This film's like, was shot 3 or 4 years after the original. Yep. Like, the kids are so obviously, they try and like hide it by not showing them too much, but especially the girl. Mm. She's visibly aged a great deal in like no time at all.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, well, what can you do?
No, not what you can do.
But yeah, so like, the end of the first film, they set out what they're going to do in the second film.
Mm-hmm.
Safety and hurt the aliens. Yeah. And they do both of those in this film. In this film, it doesn't quite sort of leave you with that openness, mm-hmm. other than they're aliens now.
Yeah.
And so what's going to happen with that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It,
but like, I really liked this film just for doing that follow up.
Yeah.
And it still kept it simple. It was all about that simple story. They added in one more main character.
Yes.
Cillian
Murphy. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
Really. Which makes sense, and it keeps the story small. And they had these other bigger bits with, like, you know, the flashback at the start and the
commune at the end.
The commune at the end and the weird people on the dock. Like, yeah, that all makes sense. That feels very apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you've seen any season of The Walking Dead, you know there's that.
It did give me Walking Dead vibes as well.
Yeah, there's groups of like horrible people and there's groups of nice people. Like,
yeah,
you watch any apocalypse movie, you always get that.
Yeah, yeah, sure, yeah.
Like 28 Days Later, Cillian Murphy again.
Well, of course,
again.
Yeah, the
like,
obvious flashback.
It's
thing.
Groups of nice people and it's groups of horrible people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you never know who's who, really.
Yeah. No, I did. I really enjoyed watching it for what it was, but yeah. Mm. I just thought the storytelling was quite weak. And also, it did do that thing as well where, I mean, in the first film, the characters make a lot of questionable decisions, not just having a baby, just generally, like, you know, momentary decisions. But in this film, they seem to make the most outrageously stupid choices, like, constantly.
Like what?
Like the boy, the younger boy.
The amount of times when somebody says, "Wait here."
And they don't wait. Yeah, exactly.
they never wait. Yeah. Like, wait here while I'm going to go and do my own thing and, you know, put myself at risk and, you know, by extension, putting you at risk because then you can't rely on me anymore because I might be dead. So you wait here and we'll all be okay. And then the next character says it to that one. And like, so, you know, Emily Blunt says it to both the kids. Then the girl says it to the brother. Then the brother says it to the baby, and he walks off at one point.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, and it's annoying that these characters are so stupid.
The worst one of it was when he leaves the baby by. Fine, leave the baby by. It's in a very safe place.
Well, as safe as you can get in this world. But
yeah.
Sure,
and he just goes wandering, like, for no reason, it seems.
There's no reason other than the film needs more attention.
Like,
yeah.
Everybody else is going off for different reasons. Like, Emily Blunt's going back to the pharmacy to go and get some more oxygen for the baby.
Yeah.
Sure, that makes great sense.
Yes.
The girl, she's going out to go and save the world by finding the radio station. Yep, that works perfectly. Cillian Murphy going to help the girl because she's deaf, which I kept forgetting in this.
Yeah, me too.
all makes sense. the boy just goes and explores this warehouse that you know is already full of traps because he stepped on a bear trap at the start of the movie.
Oh, yeah. It was like the nail from the first film. They decided they had to like amp that up to 11.
Yeah.
Like, I love that the nail even had a little cameo at the beginning. Yeah. So I was like, still no one's pulled that fucker up.
Yeah, I know.
But when that bear trap scene was...
Oh, that was rough.
That was hard going.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my, he's dead. He's gone. Yep. There's no coming out of that.
Well, that's the other thing, because in the original film, when his brother makes the noise with the airplane, whatever it is, the aliens come immediately. It's like the aliens immediately just come and like... And it's got, you know, there's like seconds. This kid, I mean, I'm glad they did make him scream, because like, I was like, there's no way this kid is not going to scream.
He's not pulling an Emily Blunt and like just repressing it.
No. So he lets out the most... long blood-curdling, because his entire leg is caught in a bear trap. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And he's screaming and screaming. It takes ages for any aliens to get to him.
Mm. Well, they're not everywhere.
I guess not, but maybe the little boy was unlucky. I don't know. I just thought it was like, compared to the first one, it felt like they had a lot more time to play around. The aliens were a lot stupider and a lot more easier to beat.
Yeah.
Like in the original film, it culminated with them all killing one, and in this film, they kill at least five, you know?
Yeah.
I know they've now got the tools to do so. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. They only find out how to do it at the end of the first one.
True, I guess. But
And they all the ones they kill are all by using this technique.
That is also true.
Yeah. Which makes the batteries in her hearing aid very valuable.
Yeah, very much so. I was worried about that as well.
Yeah.
But also the boy, he gets the bear trap thing. And this whole film takes place over the course of a day, right? Apart from the flashback.
Yeah.
Or a couple of days tops. It's not like weeks and weeks and weeks. Mm. He gets his entire leg mangled in a bear trap, and like a few scenes later, he's just hopping around.
I mean, she does say that like it didn't get to the bone,
but still, his leg is mashed.
I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for that, Emily Blunt. Yeah.
Seems like it would have done, yeah.
But, yeah. But I don't know how bear traps work.
Not nice. I think once it's gone, that it literally takes his entire lower leg. And he's just,
well, no, it's his ankle.
It goes further up than his ankle. It's pretty big.
Okay,
on a small child, a young boy.
But even so, she said it didn't get to the bone. So all we can do is just.
He just seemed very mobile for that kind of injury.
Yeah, I know. I agree. But yeah, like, so he goes exploring this warehouse, and he goes upstairs, and there's all these, what look like, well, just like. Work suits, like, you know, jumpsuits on coat hangers, supposed to look like people. I don't know for what, because like,
well, I guess they're in an old industrial. They're in like a warehouse. Maybe it's
yes, but it looks like Cillian Murphy set up loads of traps or whatever.
Well, he did set up the bear trap, didn't he?
Yeah, but like, I assume for one of the monsters.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe. Oh no, he did say that like, you know, lots of people out there are quite evil, so maybe it was setting up for evil people. Sure. I don't know.
Makes him pretty evil.
Pardon?
It makes him pretty evil.
It does, yeah. Like, he never apologizes.
No, that kid's leg. If that kid loses a leg, that's on him.
Yeah, like it's not his fault. Like, the trap wasn't for, you know, nice people.
No, sure, but it's
But like, apologize. God damn. But anyway, yeah. And the boy goes up and he finds Cillian Murphy's dead wife. Mm. Why has Cillian Murphy not covered the body?
Yeah, because they needed another jump scare.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did. Oh, some of the jump scares in this.
It is very tense. I'm not going to...
This fucking movie. Yeah. There were some bits that were so predictable, but like, they still got me.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bit when she's on the train. We've seen loads of dead bodies already.
Mm.
And she reaches into like the driver's cabin or whatever. She can only open the door a little bit. There's something stuck behind the door. Wonder what that could be. And she's reaching for the first aid box, and then the driver's body falls on her hand. Yeah. So predictable it's going to happen.
But it's still, yeah.
But it really gets you.
I do wish they'd made more. I'm sure in the first film they put you in her head more. Mm. Maybe they didn't. I can't remember. Maybe I'm mixing it with other films. Because like, we've watched Sound of Metal recently that put you in the headspace of a deaf person. Like, I think it would be really interesting because she's kind of the lead in this one. Emily Blunt's kind of takes up a back seat in this one. Mm. If it put you more in her headspace of being deaf, it would have made it scarier for me in many ways.
Because
you would have had that, oh God, she can't hear them coming. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the film quite did that as much as I would have liked.
No. Yeah, it did do it a couple times, but yeah, not a lot. Mm. So, yeah, I can kind of see what you're saying. Mm. But still, on the whole, I really enjoyed this. And the only thing I'd change is just the reveal that they're aliens.
Yeah, sure. No, on its own terms, I as a brainless, pointless, but entertaining sequel, I was never bored. I was thoroughly gripped from start to finish. I was very stressed out by it. It was a lot of jump scares.
Yeah. I thought this was as good as the original.
I can't go that far.
No,
the original was like really like a great horror film and like a really great concept.
Because it still didn't feel overcomplicated.
Like, no, it's not even complicated. It was just dumbed down. It was just dumbed down.
The stakes were simple.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they had to do was simple. Just find a new home and find that radio station. It's a very simple story. And that's what the first one was. It was a very simple story.
Yeah. What do you reckon the third one's going to be?
I don't know. Well, it seems like they've now got a whole safe community.
Yeah, although those people are going to be pissed, the survivors.
Yeah.
So I hope a lot of it is just Cillian Murphy just apologising to them for, like, destroying their community.
Mm.
Oh, I did really laugh, I've got to say. When the alien... So basically, they realised...
Yeah, but I laughed at this too.
I knew you would. So basically, there's a whole scene where they're trying to get to a boat. Mm-hmm. And they get on the boat and they realise that the reason that the commune is a safe place is that these aliens can't swim.
Yeah.
So they can't get across the commune. Mm-hmm. So Cillian Murphy and Millicent Simmons, the deaf girl, they make it to this safe commune and they relax a little bit. But then Cillian Murphy is out wandering and he sees that the boat, that one of the boats.
Well, I clocked this immediately. So first of all, when they get to, like, the dock, just, you know, before they get to the island, it's in the middle of the night and they get caught by this group of horrible people who are just going to go and take the girl and have their way with her.
Yeah.
They tie up Cillian Murphy to, like, lots of jangly, noisy things. And he's smart enough to tell her to, like, jump in the water. Mm-hmm. Bit of a throwback to the start of the movie.
Yeah.
And he manages to take them all out, essentially, just by making convenient noises. So the aliens come and they just destroy all these horrible people.
Yeah.
He manages to get away. Some of the people get onto boats and whatever, but the monsters jump on the boats and, like, throw people everywhere, rip people apart and stuff like that. And at one point, you just see one of the monsters. He's just on a boat. Looks like he's having a great time.
Yeah.
And the boats just, like, float away. And I was like, that's coming back.
Yeah.
I can guarantee we're not seeing the end of that.
Yeah. So then the boat floats over to the safe space. And then one of the aliens just runs amok in the safe space.
Yeah.
Is ripping people to shreds left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just see it's Demon Honsu, the actor. Mm-hmm. He's like the old man who runs the commune. Mm. And they put these two kids inside a little wardrobe. But the kids are just so nonchalant. Tickled me. These two kids, like, shh, stay safe. And two kids are just kind of like, probably just seen their own parents ripped to shreds, but they're just like, all right, fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The kids in this movie are so well behaved. That baby cries maybe once the whole movie as well.
No, cries a few times.
I know she's sedating it with oxygen, so that's probably why.
And then cries a lot when they run out of oxygen.
Yeah,
well, and the monsters are, like, right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so this monster that gets on the island. So first of all, it's had a little fun boat ride.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really enjoyed all the stuff at the end when it's just, like, in a recording studio.
Yeah.
Like, yes, we can hear you, Clem Fandango.
It's going to record its debut single, yeah.
Because so often it's just standing there in the recording booth, and, like, everybody else is in the other room, like, with all the, like, the record buttons and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, so they're just gonna, like, just drop a track or something. Yeah. What's happening?
So it's not that it's not enjoyable. It's just so much sillier than the first one. That's my complaints.
Okay. Yeah.
And I still enjoyed it. I just can't say it's as good because it's just so much sillier.
Yeah.
But it was still, I'd recommend it as a movie going experience.
Big time. You want to wrap up?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. What do you rate out of 10?
I'll give this a low 7.
I'm going to go 8.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. No, I still really enjoyed this. And I think it's partially because we're back at the cinema.
Yeah, even though I didn't think that was an amazing film, I so enjoyed being in the cinema and watching it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cinemas are great.
They are.
Yeah.
Welcome back, cinemas.
Yeah,
long may they laugh last.
Great. So, 7 and an 8. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Yep. See you next time.
Bye.
Let's go beyond the box set.